I'm Derek Thompson, the host of the podcast Plain English. We tackle technology, politics, culture, history, everything that's happening in the world and why it matters. New episodes of Plain English drop every Tuesday and Friday on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beth meets on fire. Your defense is terrified.
Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House on Ringer FC. I hope you are all safe and well. Today we're going to talk about England's historic 8-0 victory over Norway, Beth Mead's hat-trick, and we're going to round up the rest of the Euros so far. It's been amazing. And my guests are Flo Lloyd Hughes and Ryan Hunt.
Chaotic Flo Lloyd Hughes is my
favourite Flo Lloyd Hughes. Yes. That's the Flo we love.
It's like feeding a gremlin after midnight.
Yeah. Flo, I couldn't believe yesterday. I think it's one of the most, let me see. Obviously, there weren't as many games in it, but I think the Manchester United-Barcelona Champions League at Wembley was one of the best performances I've seen a team put in against another team. But remember, the other team weren't completely playing totally shit. Mm. One team's playing totally shit, the other one's playing absolutely to their max potential, and that's what happens, 8-0. But that Barcelona game was just a pure, beautiful, unbelievable football match, and I always said that's the best football match I've ever watched, and this has totally eclipsed it, only because I've been saying from the start about what England would be like if they could get those chances taken early. And no one's going to tell me that's a penalty, Flo. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Never a penalty in the whole world of fucking penalties.
I still haven't seen a replay, you know, because we don't get replays fucking in the press box or where I was sitting.
No, it wasn't a penalty.
I was sitting miles away in the gantry and I couldn't see. And then I was like, I don't know, but it's probably not.
All of the women's Euros games were on DAZN in Germany, and the commentator watched the replay and just went, literally, this is all he said. He just went, no, 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 like that for ages.
Honestly,
sometimes you just got to buy it. You don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery, and sometimes you just got to buy one of those pens.
Do you think we should recap for people who, for somehow living under
the world? Yeah, go on.
England beating Norway, 8-0.
8-0. 6-0 halftime.
EIGHT.
The highest ever winning margin.
It's true. You have to do it like that, right? You have to spell it out like it used to be when I was younger.
There are games like you mentioned, like the Barcelona Manchester United game, but there are some games where you're kind of watching it just jaw to the floor, being like, I can't believe that they're still going and that they're being this relentless. And the first half of this game was one of those, because let's not get it twisted, Norway are a really, really good football team.
Jonathan Liu's tweet. Jonathan Liu's tweet is brilliant, wasn't it? Norway quite good.
Yeah, Norway are good. What they were three places behind them in the FIFA rankings.
Yeah,
like this isn't an England.
This isn't a pub side.
No. This isn't like if Spain were the pre-tournament favourites. Northern Ireland had like the highest odds pre-tournament. I think this isn't like Spain beating Northern Ireland. No disrespect to Northern Ireland, who I think played quite well against Austria, but this game is. Like this result is, I can't even think of the, I have to be honest, I haven't spoke a lot recently anyway, and I can't think of the actual words to describe about how big a result this is.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people, it is wild. There's a lot of people out there, because like, it's very difficult to not you know, it's like when you're younger and you're that scab, it's not really ready to be picked. But you touch it and it still feels like, I think I can do it. I could scab, I can get a bit off of it. I can get it off. Come on. But it still hurts.
People might but be like, listening to this at dinner time.
Yeah.
Scabby scab.
Scabby scab. It's not quite ready. But like, right, I just go back to Serena when she first came, and you know, all she was talking about was ruthlessness. This is what we've appointed her for. She's talking about chances, taking chances, creating chances, and scoring as many goals as you can. Like, the penalty what we got, like I said, weren't a penalty. The second goal, what was really good about the second goal is that me and Alex Scott was up on the top there. And like, while the VAR was, it was fucking really, it was surreal because like, while the VAR was going, everybody's looking up, you know, like, so you got a stand of people, but they all turned that way, looking up. And we were going, it's a goal. We're going, it's a goal, it's a goal. When they done the square thing and it's a goal, everybody turned and I was jumping up. It was just
it
like,
was so good.
Amazing. It was so good.
Bit of a peek behind the curtain. Before we were recording, I was trying to get all the artwork wrapped up. And when I was looking on Getty for an image to use, it was like England, Norway. It was like loads of all the girls like celebrating and stuff and various bits from the game. And then there's just a row of like you and Alex Scott, you'd just be like, yeah!
Losing your minds.
It was brilliant. It's brilliant because like watching that game, I thought that they were going to, you know, try and let us kick, go from Mary Earps all the way through the team. And then they would have put pressure on everybody, put pressure on Kira Walsh, who yesterday just proved, if you don't put pressure on someone like Kira Walsh, you're fucked, man. Mm. You're just finished, right? And they were totally, I don't know what their game plan was. He didn't even change it. I think he was I think Jonas said, and he was frozen. He said, this is the place.
Clarify for those people who don't know. Jonas Eidevall, Arsenal manager.
Jonas Eidevall.
He was on BBC with you, right?
Yeah. And he was really good. I really like Jonas. I like him a lot. He was there and he was saying, while it was happening, Ryan, he was saying, look, he was saying, he's frozen.
You know, hey, Ian, you know when they panned over to the video screen and they showed Jonas on the big screen, and he was just like this. And everyone was, that was such an iconic moment. Everyone was talking about it afterwards in the press room. Everyone was talking about that iconic image of Jonas being like, what is going on here?
But I think this is something that we've seen a lot of elite managers do in any competition, domestic, European, continental, international, whatever, where like, I mean, we saw it in the Men's World Cup, that famous one. I genuinely think this is a result, maybe not quite a seismic because it didn't happen to the hosts, but in terms of like a quote-unquote statement win as like the Germany-Brazil result in 2014 in the Men's World Cup.
It feels that stunning and baffling earth-shattering. Like there was a black hole that Ada Hegerberg just fell into. She got sucked into the black hole, and then an alternate universe was created in which that result happened. Is basically
I think that the result is not representative of the actual gap between the two sides, and that's what makes results like this genuinely kind of feel like a tectonic shift.
Yeah, but right, what else it does as well, Flo, is it shows that, you know, when you say things like, well, if you play like that against that kind of quality team, that you're going to get. That's what we saw last night. Mm. I didn't see that result coming because what I was thinking was going to happen was they're going to put us under a lot of pressure. They've got players who will take chances like what we saw them do in their game against Northern Ireland. What I saw yesterday was if we take the chances, what we are capable of doing even without going to the bench, Flo.
I was a bit worried it was going to be one of those nights for Ellen White as well because she missed a chance before she got her goal and I thought, this is going to be one of these nights.
Was that the one what came across from Beth Mead again? Yeah. Beth Mead's cross.
Yeah. And it just needed a little something and she couldn't get to it. And so I was a bit worried it was going to be yet another of those nights. But I think it was a really important confidence boosting night for her because there's obviously been questions about her. You know, we've talked about it a lot in the qualifiers. We've talked about it all season around her form for City. But we know that she can become a different animal in major tournaments. And she needed a couple of goals. Even if, you know, Norway were all over the place and could have done a lot better in their defence. The way that England cut them apart was mesmerizing. I mean, it was an example of insanity because Norway kept doing the same things wrong over and over again. And like you said, Ian, they didn't change anything.
Nope.
And we spoke to them in the mix zone afterwards and they were basically saying, we didn't listen to any instructions. We didn't do what we were being told. You know, we only have ourselves to blame. It was a mess. We were playing as individuals, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, if you are going to be one of the best teams in the world, you have to punish teams when they're playing like that.
Yes,
and that's what England did.
And that's what I said we should do. Be ruthless.
On that point, Flo, I mean, no matter what level of football you've played at, we can all probably remember a situation where you can't quite put your finger on why it's happening, but you've lost complete control of the game and it seems like it's like a never-ending spiral. What happened in the game was the way that the second went in quick succession from a penalty that probably would have been really disheartening from a Norway point of view anyway. I think that combined with just the flow of the game in that first quarter of an hour was a real like, okay, we're stuck here and we can't quite figure out what to do. And then as soon as the third one goes in, it's like, okay, this goes to damage limitation, which then just you naturally start considering a different types of movement because you're inherently becoming more conservative because you don't want it to become eight. And it just, and you just lose all flow and confidence from the game. I mean, like, just to kind of hammer home the point in terms of how good this side is, Ada Hegerberg, Caroline Graham Hansen, Grua Wrighton in the front four, like Ingrid Engen in the middle, Maren Mjelde in the defense, like Maria Torres Dottir, Julie Blackstad at left back, which is probably one of the big talking points, I think, from the game, because she just really, really struggled.
Yeah. I said it as well
I think it was their defence, and you touched on it there, Ryan, their defence is a bit of a ramshackle situation. Blackstad should be playing naturally higher up the pitch. She's not as experienced when it comes to defending, and she showed that yesterday. In the first 5 minutes, there was so much space for her to run into, and I thought, okay, England are gonna have to deal with this left-hand side. And then obviously as soon as England got the ball, she was completely exposed. Torres started playing out of position, Maren Mjelde playing out of position, and they were, and you could tell that as well, because as Blackstad would push up, it would create space behind her. Torres started would not come in and fill. And that space between Blackstad and that kind of channel in between Torres Dottir and Blackstad, there was so much space. Oh, and probably, what, 5 of the 8 goals just came from England threading that simple ball into that gap. And they could have had 10, really, or even 12 last night.
Lucy Bronze, there was so much space over there. So much space over there. It was almost like, I couldn't understand after 3, he didn't go to the 5. Straight away, go to the 5, get them to half time, frustrate England a bit, come out, and then, like they did against Northern Ireland, is, you know, Northern Ireland scored, and then they scored instantly. They needed to shore that up, try and nick something before half time, go in so as England could start thinking about something other than continually to just absolutely hammer them, knowing that they've got the kind of quality to hurt us. But they carried on doing what they're doing. And I can only go back to when we got beaten by Liverpool 9-0. And we were, at the time, at Palace, we were decent. Defensively, midfield and up front, we were quite strong. But they just had one of them games where they just pulled us all over the place. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get nothing going. We went in at halftime and it was 3-0. And Steve Coppell said, we need to get tighter to people. We need to drop off and understand when we could go forward, when we could go back. Otherwise, this could be embarrassing. And we just, we didn't cope with it. We couldn't do it because when we got out there, we didn't know how to get the ball back off of them, because what we were trying to do, we was trying to hurry them into making mistakes. And they were just like, they were too confident. It was too late. They were too confident. It was too late. So they were just running rings around us. The crowd were absolutely unbelievable for them. And then they scored again and again and again. And it gets to a place where you feel humiliated. You're humiliated on there. I felt for them last night because no one on that Norwegian side, not one person. I saw them. I don't know what the score would have been, but when they had the huddle flow,
I think it was 2 or 3 by that point, because the goals are in such quick succession. You had the penalty on 12, then Hemp scores that second one in 15. I think that was the first time when they came together in a huddle, and then they kept having a huddle and kept having a huddle. And it's like, what are you talking about in that huddle? Because nothing is changing.
But this is the thing, like, this is the thing where I feel a little bit, because the psychological toll that it must take on players in a game like that, like I said before, where you've lost complete control and you're a bit shell-shocked because you didn't expect it. But also with a lack of direction coming from the bench and like what you said there, right, about like switching to a five. I think the thing is, it's like, it's not just the goals that takes its toll. It's the amount of times that you get turned and you're running towards your own goal.
Yeah.
As a defender or as a, like a deep line midfielder, if you're constantly turning around and running towards your own goal, it creates this kind of psychological buildup that you're like, we are really up against it here and we can't come out. That's why you see so many of the best like defenders in the world have these statistics about not being dribble passed. It's because 90% of the game's in front of them. Like as soon as the game starts becoming behind you as a defender, it's so difficult to break that cycle. And this is why I think switching to a more conservative setup just to get them through to halftime, like if they should have done it after two, but even after three, if they get in at halftime 3-0 down, which to be honest, at that point, the one thing I was really surprised about was how much England didn't take their foot off the gas.
Mm. But the thing is, right, they were energized because what happens is that from the, like I say, from the start of Serena's tenure, they've been missing chances. They don't know what it's like to, yes, we've beaten North Macedonians and these kind of people and we've hammered them. But the thing is, they don't know what it's like when you're in a game. They didn't realize what it was like when you're in a game when you are in total control because you have taken the chances. Mm-hmm. The other team's lost all confidence and you are flying. What happens is that you get a kind of an energy boost and a charge where they just kept going.
Because you're floating on air. You're just on another level.
You're literally, that's what's happening. You are literally flying. You're floating on air. You don't feel like you're ever going to lose any kind of breath. I cannot remember anyone, whether it is in the midfield, you know, on the wings, the pressure, the running back from people like Lauren Hemp, people like Beth Mead, even looking at Ellen White, you know, Georgia State, the running back that everyone was doing, the closing down, at no stage in this game were Norway comfortable. You think, okay, they're having their moment. Norway never had their moment. They never had it.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
I feel like I'm listening to a sermon. Like, I just want to be like, praise. I want to just praise in this moment.
Honestly,
I'm about to start speaking in tongues. This is just like, something inside me is just glowing.
I've got a question for you both because you've covered pretty much every England game for a while. Mm. There was a lot of chat about England's big qualifying victories over sides that are obviously nowhere near as good as Norway. Yeah. But do you think when like in a game like this where the second or third comes in, you've almost got a muscle memory of how to dominate games, and it doesn't really matter if this is what I think differentiates elite teams from good teams, right? Is that when an opportunity opens up in front of you, you click into another gear that is just like, right, we're going to really, really make them pay here. Yes. And I think sometimes that actually there's a lot that gets discussed around international qualifying in the men's and women's game in terms of like, how much can you really learn from beating certain teams 10-0? Mm. But actually I think that there's almost like an automatic switch flips in games like this where they've kind of been there before and they know how to dominate. And if the quality of the opposition isn't, or if the opposition aren't performing to the quality that they know they can, they just automatically know how to step it up a level. Mm. Do you think that's
true?
Absolutely.
As opposed to being like, holy shit, we're 3-0 up. No. We've never been in this position before. Like,
yeah, but what happens is that I think that yes, there's something to take from the fact that you're dominating teams, but then what you're expecting from a Norway is, like we say, they're going to have their moment, and we know that they've got quality players that can hurt you if you're not concentrating.
Yeah, if you switch off.
Exactly. So I thought last night, no one switched off. Norway never had their moment because England didn't give them the opportunity to have the moment. And then they were just ruthless.
The press.
Ruthless.
The yeah. press from every single player was unbelievable. I need to look at the actual stats, but the number of touches that Norway were allowed to take was just absolutely minimal. The number of passes that they were allowed to take was minimal. Stanway was just running around
I can't remember them putting five passes together continually.
She was like a stray dog just being let loose on the pitch. She was just Walsh was unbelievable. There was a time in the first half where Walsh kind of picked it up maybe like 30 yards outside of England's box, took like a touch, then took another touch to kind of like spin 180, then took another touch to get out of her feet, and then just pinged it over to the left-hand side to find Lauren Hemp. And I was just like,
wow,
what is this? Like, am I dreaming?
She's feasting.
It was just unbelievable. And the way that they moved as a unit. And I think we knew from the Northern Ireland-Norway game that Northern Ireland gave Norway far too much space. So if England could just press them, remain organised, not allow that front three to get time and space, then it was going to be fine. There was literally just sheer minutes in that first half where Norway thought they could find space and they could find time. And instantly England shut it down and said, absolutely fucking not. We are going to control this game. And they never looked back.
That's what happens in games, Flo. You think, okay, yes, this is them starting. Because remember, the crowd had a lot to do with it, the energy they gave. You're thinking as a Norwegian player, Ryan, that, okay, they're going to ease down soon and then we'll get some time on it. It never came.
No.
So they never got the time.
No, I was just looking at the pass breakdown. So Norway attempted 299 passes. They completed 219 and 159 of those were in their own half. 151 of those were in their own half. Wow. England, on the other hand, had 270 in the opposition half. Norway completed 68 passes in England.
Jesus Christ. You see, that says it all. It really does say it all.
It's embarrassing, isn't it? I think that was what they were all saying in the mix zone afterwards. Is it's humiliating, not just for them as individuals, but for the team and for the country. Is the way they spoke about it. Like, that's an embarrassing and given the expectations on them as kind of like dark horses, really, to go far, given the return of Hegerberg and some of their warm up results and that result against Northern Ireland. Like, to be exposed and embarrassed like that is ridiculous.
I mean, this just makes the Austria game probably like one of the best or the most anticipated games of the tournament already, because it's so important now
to shoot out.
Yeah, it is. They need to get out of the group. If they don't get out of the group, then more focus goes on that England result. If they do get out of the group and they put in a decent performance against Austria and then a decent performance in the quarterfinal, I think it's a little bit easily compartmentalized.
You know who I really want to hear from?
Go on.
Old Fizzy Fizz, Mr. Phil Neville.
I don't.
I would love to know, my friend. We all knew that this was here. We all knew there was something inside this team.
Yes.
And they just needed a coach, an actual football coach, to unlock it and unleash it. And I'm annoyed at the years that were wasted for some of these players and the talent, like for someone like Lucy Bronze.
But you have to be pleased that Serena's there now to do it, because you have to say, if it's going to happen under anyone now, with the way she's
so good.
Guided, she's amazing.
I love her so much.
I saw somebody sent a message. I don't know if you guys saw it, that they said, because they're talking about the 8-0, and she says, 1-0, 8-0.
Yeah.
It's just a win.
You
get 3 points. Yeah. And they said that they'd love to see her and Roy Keane in a room together.
Yeah. Grace Robinson.
Yeah, great Grace.
So good. You know, they're just so matter of fact and direct, both of them. So it would be really funny to witness.
Yeah, it would be great to witness. But we've got to talk about Beth Mead. And, you know, like, it was really tough for Jonas last night.
She could have had five.
Because obviously myself, Alex and Jonas were very Arsenal-centric. Then you get Beth Mead, player of the match. Obviously I'm not near Arsenal. Alex Scott's not near Arsenal and Jonas is an Arsenal manager. So it was very Arsenal. It was very goonery.
See, if Alan Sugar had anything to complain about, that would have been
exactly. Complain about that.
The fucking Arsenal-supporting liberal metropolitan elite media. It's bullshit.
You know, but like, honestly, I think there was a few games especially when Chloe Kelly came back, and she played in that game. Ellen White missed a couple of chances in which Beth set her up and she missed them. So everybody totally forgot about that bit of it. And when Chloe came, even to my point, I'm thinking, well, she is very one-on-one-y. She'll take people on. She'll take people out of the game. And Beth does play in front of them a bit. And Beth's movement is about laying it off, going, stuff like that. She doesn't beat you like one-on-one with the ball and like Chloe Kelly was doing. And I think that Chloe coming back, how she has, and had those games where she really made an impact, really made Beth think, what? Are you not seeing what I'm doing here? Chloe's come and she's an unbelievable player and she deserves to be in the squad. But like, it was almost like everything that Beth had done up to that point, simply because maybe the caliber of country she's scoring against, people kind of played it down a bit. And that's why I had to nick Ryan's Olympic, what is it? The Olympic, somebody sent it, the revenge tour.
Oh, me, I wrote it in The Athletic.
Was it you?
It's the Beth Mead revenge tour.
And like yesterday, against that opposition, and obviously they got it totally wrong, she was scintillating.
She's been in good form for what? People don't forget now?
She was the one who set up the Ellen White got to score the goal, but it was Beth Mead's closing down what put Torres Dottas under the pressure.
Mead laid it on a plate two or three times for other people who couldn't finish it. But she, you know, the one, was it her second goal she scored where it's just like quick feet,
bam,
in
bam,
the box
bam,
and
bam,
then
bam,
finish.
Oof. And she was in total control of that. And that is where she is at the moment. If she carries on like she's doing, obviously she's way up there with player of the tournament. And then you get Diani at France as well. She was amazing. But going back to Beth, she's just ready, man. She's red. Beth Mead is on fire. And you can't give Ciara Walsh that kind of time. I think that those teams will be watching and saying, right, that is them at their very best.
Mm. Yeah.
I think every single team will be watching that video and going through that to see, right, what do we do now?
Yeah, because the problem is, it's like, who do you, it's almost like playing whack-a-mole in a way, because it's like, like when you try and close one problem down, another one pops up. And then,
yeah, but then Ciara Walsh, what if they shut down Ciara Walsh?
Yeah, but the thing is, then England have got outlets. They've got ball playing centre backs, and they've got people like Lucy Bronze who can break into the final third.
Yeah, but then
like,
you're talking about Rye, but getting into their third, so stopping them at source. So you're stopping. So Millie Bright now, Leah, who didn't, she couldn't really execute her long passes too much because she had to kind of adjust herself from the left foot to the right, and then by that time it was closed down. I think that there's. People that, those are the things that people are going to be looking at, right?
A high pressing team who can put those players under pressure and stop England getting those quick passes out wide, they're the ones who are going to get success.
That's our strength.
I think what you were saying before about like Beth Mead's position in the team or place in the team, and then with Chloe Kelly coming back, it's just the sheer amount of like I can't remember an England squad this stacked and efficient. That's the thing. So like you look at the subs, you take Frank Kirby off, you bring Ella Toon on. Now against like a deep, compact line defence, that's someone who can break lines. Mm. You get Alex Greenwood comes on. Alessia Russo comes on and scores.
Yeah, scores,
and
yeah.
Chloe Kelly comes on. And like, they're just like, there are options there that are different types of players. And I think that the really cool thing about having like Lauren Hemp on one wing and Beth Mead on the other is just they're actually really different and they offer different problems. But if they decide to like switch flanks, which they did, I think it might have been after a couple of set pieces. They were on opposite flanks.
Yeah.
That's another thing for people to worry about because you've got a different set of like.
And they've done that in the warm ups and it hadn't quite worked as well. But in the Austria game, they did it and it was really good. And last night, they did it and it was really good. And they're just. Oh,
she's got
just
the whole
so smart.
Squad flow. She's got what she's got is that because.
She's got the whole world in her hands.
Yeah, exactly. At the moment, Serena. And you look at our bench. And then those players look at what they're doing on there. And this is why I said at halftime, I know that we're very good off the bench, but like we want, if anyone's coming in off the bench, we got to maintain this level. Mm. We got to make them realize that this is all day, Norway. This is going to be all day because you want people like Alessia coming off the bench and scoring. Chloe Kelly, you see how hard she was working because all of a sudden now it seems like it's gone back. Oh, Beth Mead again. Beth Mead. Because for a while it went all Chloe Kelly. But like Beth Mead will continue to strive simply because she knows she's got Chloe Kelly. And that's what should happen. That's how it should be. Because what we need is people coming off the bench realizing, I've got to go on there and I've got to make something happen. I've got to do it.
I know, and then
that's
someone,
what I saw.
Someone we've not even mentioned, and I know that like maybe her stock has fallen a little bit as it compared to maybe 18 months ago. But if you need high energy in a really tight game and someone to come on essentially just like bug the shit out of the opposition back foot, you've got Beth England there. We mentioned like five or six people before you even mentioned Beth England, who was like what, WSL Player of the Year a few years ago. Like, and I know that like we've talked about her before in terms of how well she was playing for Chelsea, and then how she obviously with the new signings that came in and she couldn't lock down a place as much. The options that you have means that you don't have to. It doesn't have to be proper Goldilocksy. It doesn't have to be just right to work. You do have different ways to hurt different configurations, and I think that, especially when you have a coach who is so like tactically astute as Serena, and who's done it before. I know no one's going to get, well, I mean, we're all going to get carried away, but we shouldn't get carried away about the 8-0. But Ryan, I think the thing is like being sensible. It is like, well, yeah, you've got the tools there to hurt.
We've got the tools, and the thing is, you say it's the same as when, like I say, England in the Euros. Whether we've got a good draw, whether we got all our games at Wembley, whatever it is, at the time, we were getting it done. Mm. We were getting it done. And the problem I have with fans, especially fans that are not fans of England, is that they're constantly looking for ways to rip it down and belittle it, right? And this is why I love Jonathan Liu's like tweet where he says, Norway are quite good. And, you know, because it's fucking summed it up perfectly. Because they are, when you look at the caliber of players that's in their team. But what we showed yesterday and what I always knew was there, and I've always said, we're missing too many fucking chances. We're not giving ourselves a chance to get into the game and play in a relaxed way, in a relaxed
state. I love this. Flo, look at this guy, like 8-0. He's just like, do you know what? We're missing chances. And like, no, I want
but
more.
You've got,
I want
also,
more.
You've got to enjoy the ride, right? Yeah. And that's what the players said yesterday. And Serena has been saying from the off. It's like, we need to not get overexcited. And it's hard as England fans not to do that because we know we love doing that. We love jumping to conclusions because we're a nation of losers. So a taste of success is too hard to turn down. But we as fans should get excited. We should be, in my opinion, singing It's Coming Home when you're winning 8-0.
Yes, because enjoy football.
Enjoy football. Life is miserable. Let people celebrate. Let people be free. Let people live their lives and enjoy the moment. And last summer felt like destiny for England to get to the final, and maybe it didn't quite work out, and you know, hashtag God's plan had other ideas for the final, but it felt like every piece of the puzzle was coming into place for that journey to Wembley against Italy. And I feel like the same things are coming true this summer, and you have to go with it, you have to lean into it and enjoy the ride because life is too short.
Exactly. And I remember saying, I said it when we was doing the broadcast, I said, why is it English fans are not allowed to enjoy the next bit of success and the next bit of success because what? It might be 1-0 and we scraped it. Oh, we drew against Scotland. Oh, you lot are so lucky. You lot were shit. Oh, you know, we beat you, you know, we win like 2-1, you know what I mean? And Harry Kane finally scores or something. People say, oh yeah, but you lot. I said, fuck it, it doesn't matter because like we're English. We should be happy that we're progressing and we're doing well. We should be happy that we've progressed. But what we've done with the ladies is that we've progressed in a manner which everybody knows that this team's capable of. We've finally shown up at a tournament doing what everybody wants us to do, is be ruthless, players playing to the very top of their ability and absolutely blasting away a team that are not a bunch of like nobodies, man. They're a good side. And so I saw people still saying, you know, oh, 6-0 halftime. Do we really have to get this? I was like, for fuck's sake. Those are the people that do not watch women's football. They've not watched qualifiers.
Yeah, but all football in general though, because to be honest, like Serena Wiegmann would have been sat there knowing exactly what's going on, exactly what this result means, exactly what this performance means, and is like, we can take this, 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 and this from this against, I don't know, a Germany, a France, a Spain, for argument's sake. But she'll also be able to say like, this also meant this because of the calibre of the opposition. Better sides have not beaten worse sides by this kind of margin before. I know it was the sixth goal in the last Euros, but still, it's like it's a different thing. Like, enjoy it. It's a home Euros. It's a historic Euros as well. The crowds have been amazing. The vibe around it has been great. Just fucking enjoy it, man.
Just
like,
enjoy it. And let English people,
you know,
enjoy
what?
It.
I can't wait for the World Cup next summer, and I can't wait to play the USA because I tell you, I would love it if we beat them. Love it.
When we look at our manager, I couldn't think of anybody to be placed in a more perfect place than Serena right now, knowing what it takes to win this tournament, knowing what it takes to bring that team back down. And when you listen to them do the interviews afterwards, everybody seemed like they were on the right page in, yes, it's a great win and it's an exciting win, but you know, it's the next game. Yes, we've qualified and that's what we wanted to do. So now the hard work starts, because it's already people who will be saying, okay, so you beat them 8-0. And then they see how you go against France. Let's see how you go against Spain. And the thing about it is that France and Spain and Germany and whoever, Iceland, whoever it's going to be, you know, we'll be looking at that performance and saying, we can't afford to go up against that team if they're playing that well. We can't do that. So they're going to have to find ways to stop us. And what we've got to do, we just need people to be behind them. Because mm-hmm. people are already wanting them to fail because, but you beat someone 20-0 and then you beat someone 8-0. And they're not interested. They just want to see them fail. I just want and I hope that Serena can guide them through this, because this will be, for me, just like fucking amazing if they can do it. If these girls can do it, it'd be amazing if they could do it. I'd love them to do it. But like, it's not going to be easy. But like, hey, the journey, bro. The fucking journey.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Moose and I are going to talk about men's stuff on Stadio on Wednesday.
Boo,
I know. Boo, boo, just transfer nonsense. And we'll also cover the, because we're recording this ahead of Germany-Spain, which is
right.
One of the, potentially spicy. One of the games of the tournament beforehand.
I'm so excited. I'm covering it and I can't wait.
Are you doing it? What time is it?
8 o'clock kickoff. I mean, the Denmark-Germany game was so good and the atmosphere is brilliant, so.
But also, can I give a quick shout out? It's the Copa America Femenina on at the moment. It's going good. And also, we're at the quarterfinal stage of Women's AFCON.
And the CONCACAF tournament as well, Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
It's all of them. It's all of them.
So there's like a massive summer for women's football no matter where you are in the world. I know we're Eurocentric and we're talking about the Euros, but quick shout out for Women's AFCON. Zambia, Senegal. Quarterfinal: Morocco, Botswana, Cameroon, Nigeria, South Africa, Tunisia. So we'll keep an eye on those.
Jamaica qualified for the Women's World Cup again, back to back after qualifying out of CONCACAF. So that's very exciting. Drew Spence,
yes, man,
who
nice
recently
one.
Started playing for Jamaica, getting on the score sheet, and obviously we know Bunny Shaw. We all love Bunny Shaw. Yeah, so funny. See you in Australia.
Oh my God! Since we last spoke, should we wrap up a couple of. Performances or game, like teams that you, because I want to give a shout out to Germany, obviously, as Musa and I, it's our duty in the Ringer FC Extended Universe to be extremely pro German football. Germany were mega against Denmark, I thought. Were you at the game, Flo?
I was at that game. I missed the first like 10, 15 minutes because I was coming from the Spain-Finland game at MK Dons, but I did double header just because I thought I was working the Spain-Finland game, and then Jesse had a spare ticket. So I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to come in the car. I'll try and find a parking space as close to the ground as possible. And it was a mega double header. Denmark fans, so good. I was kind of heartbroken for them because they've traveled in big numbers. But yeah, I mean, I was a little bit scared of Germany in the weeks leading up to the tournament, because I did a bigger deep dive into their squad, and I was like, oh God, their squad actually looks really good right now.
That first 20 minutes or so was really similar to the England-Norway game, and like Germany were just so relentless. And
They hit the post like three times or something.
Yeah, there was that one that Leah Schuller was offside for it because I think it was Felicitas Rauch. She hit a shot off the post. I think it was the second time she'd hit the post or the bar, and then it came back out and Leah Schuller hit the rebound on a header against the post again, but she was offside. And I think Lena Magel put the rebound from that wide. But they were just like relentless until they scored. And then Lena Magel with, as we like to call in Stadio, an angry goal.
I love her so much. I was predicting a mega Euros for her, so I'm glad she's kind of delivered. But they've just got so much talent. I mean, Lena Oberdorf is probably going to be one of the players of the tournament, coming in with a lot of hype and a lot of excitement. And then to be able to bring on someone like Yula Brand on the bench, who is just...
Jonas loves Oberdorf.
Yeah. I mean, she
really
adores her.
I still think they have a weak defence, though, which is what reassures me in terms of England's chances. Like, if I look at it from a very England-centric lens, which I do most of the time, I still think all-round depth, all-round squad balance, all-round quality, I think England are still a better team. But Germany are scary. They're scary.
I think France's defence looks strongest.
Really? You think?
I do, yeah. With Wendy.
Should we talk about that France game?
Just quickly, because they were... Like, the France game against Italy, who, again... I was watching Italy, and they reminded me a bit of like our Norwegians. They completely seem to lost all their function. What were they doing? Not getting tight enough to people. But
and
saying
they're a
that,
good side as well.
Very good.
They had that good result in 2022.
Yeah. You know, Moose always has that theory on a thrash. When a team gets thrashed, they always have a chance to take the lead.
Always have a great yes, because it almost like it wakes you up and says, right, let's get going here because that we should be one down here. But like, bam, talk about ruthless. France were ruthless. And I was going into the England game saying, we need that ruthlessness. Bam, I didn't need to worry about it because we had it. So can I be honest? I want us to play France at some stage. I just...
It looks like it could be an England-France final.
Jeez, if it's an England-France final.
At Wembley. Gosh. I don't 8, want to say,
don't say it. Roy Keane, if it's these English people talking about final... But like watching France and watching like Germany, you obviously it looks like Germany for us, to be honest. But like I say, I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered because I've seen what we can do.
We can beat them all.
I've seen when we've got our angry face on. Angry face, angry wig, like in Shrek, when Rumpelstiltskin was going to the other.
It's been a while since we've had a Shrek shout.
Yeah. When Rumpelstiltskin was angry, he asked, give me my angry wig. That's what they know what we've got. We've got an angry wig.
Yeah, I mean, having looked at, we've got a good look at all the sides now.
Mm. I thought Sweden were going to be better.
Well, I kind of found the Netherlands-Sweden game quite interesting, actually, because that's probably, it's probably the best or the most balanced in terms of opposition, like in terms of a matchup so far we've had.
It was great vibes. I went to Sheffield, like spur of the moment to go... Mm. Like hang out with the Dutch fans, do their march and stuff. And in terms of, I mean, Mark Parsons, I think, has got quite a lot of criticism since taking over. But in terms of seeing the problems that he almost created in that first half by not utilising his squad to the best ability, he put them right in the second half and they were much better because of it. So I think they'll learn a lot from that game. And I think they'll be a force in the next couple of matches and probably if they get through the quarterfinal. But I still think their defence, I mean, it comes down to all of it. That's why I think England looks so strong is Holland, another side that have a lot of players playing out of position. Got to talk about Jackie Gronin, who unfortunately tested positive for COVID the morning after the game. But
Leah Schuller as well did.
Gronin had an unbelievable performance. It's been a quiet season for her. Her will be her third season, I think, with United. She came in 2020. Yeah, her third season for United. And it was, she didn't get as many starts as she had in the past and her roles kind of changed. But she was sensational and she should have got player of the match after that game. I think even though Viv, you know, had a good game, I think Gronin absolutely bossed that whole match. And Jill Roard as well was so good. So, yeah, massive, massive credit to what Holland did.
They're building slowly, I think, Flo. They're doing England kind of hurt us at Leeds, but hey, it's fine. It's a warm-up game. They are going to cause some problems then. I'm telling you. I really do feel that Holland are going to do something. They're going to be amongst it, I think.
And that group's really interesting as well because that was probably like the two favourites to go through, right? Playing each other in the first game. Kind of that whole group is all on one point. So I don't know. That's low key the most intriguing group so far, I think. That group.
It's going under the radar, man, that group.
Teams who aren't going under the radar are Spain. Even without Alexia Putellas, who I think is having her operation today on her ACL. One of the massive disappointments of the tournament, her not being there. But they were 1-0 down against Finland.
And Finland could have got two, similar chance.
Again, I'm tired of saying it. Chances are what changes games. I don't like seeing chances missed. It really does make me angry.
Can we talk about Mappy Leon? Because I thought she was unbelievable.
She is unbelievable.
And do you know what was wild? Is that in the first 10 minutes when Finland scored and they had that second chance, she looked like she was on the ropes. She was being pressed. She was making some weird decisions. She was nervy. And then when Spain got on the ball a bit more, she just eased her way into it. She looked instantly comfortable. And then she was spraying it around over the place.
But Flo, what we saw against... Yeah, it's amazing. But what we saw, again... What you see is if you put these players, we saw with Barcelona in the Champions League. Mm. You have to put these players under pressure to see how they're going to react under it because they've always got the ball. They're always in control. So if you could flip that on his head and put them under pressure for a little while until they get it going, get it right, they're going to look like Mappy Leon looked. Like all a bit like disheveled and out of it. And
then I was saying before, even the most elite defenders in the world hate getting turned around and going
No one wants that.
I have to say though, Finland's defending was atrocious. I mean, they weren't following the marker at all. They weren't following their players at all. They were just letting people drift and completely run through. Everyone had so much time and space. So I know it's hard because that's what Spain do. They hypnotize you with their movement and their patterns, and they try and drag you out wide and then find the space. But at the same time,
They're like a magician doing a street act. Yeah, watch this over here. But I'm looking at watch. That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
Alakazam, Mappy Leon.
That's what they do. But like, it's going to be interesting again. Like a Spain. I was looking forward to seeing Putellas. Obviously, she's not there. But like, I want to see how they go without her and really without no Hermosa. No real striker, man.
I know that they were a little bit ropey defensively, Flo, like you mentioned, but I think Finland deserve a huge amount of credit.
They do. I think that Finland were just exhausted as well. Like when you work so hard to put yourself in that sort of position, it's really hard to maintain that against such a good team. And I think by the second half, they looked exhausted. They just didn't have the quality, the fitness, the athleticism to be able to compete. And so, you know, with players who are still... finding their feet in less kind of developed leagues as well in Europe, that's going to be hard.
Yeah, thoughts on the tournament so far?
It's been great.
I'm loving it. The atmosphere's been great. And what I love about the atmosphere, not even just the atmosphere, what I love about the game is that the games are so good. Right. Well, I see. So, well, Flo, I'll probably see. Flo,
see
what are we doing together?
See you at Southampton on Friday,
Southampton. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it depends if Alan Sugar doesn't have a tweet from me.
Oh, yeah. Turn to the BBC, you're waiting for the phone to ring.
Get it done, Alan.
Get the deal done.
Right, Flo, I love you.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Good. See you later. Bro. Take it easy. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Ryan Hun. Thank you to Florence Lloyd Hughes. Listen, get behind the ladies. You know, it's been great. They're doing fantastic things. We're seeing history. It's a beautiful thing. It's great crowds. I'm loving it. I'm loving football at the moment. Ladies are saving my summer. Take it easy.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the golden collection at UGG.com.